KINY Juneau. Now from the Alaska Airlines Studio, local first news for Juneau and all of Southeast Alaska.
I'm Jordan Lewis, and these are the stories we're following this hour. CACFR has responded to two fires within the last 24 hours. Senator Lisa Murkowski is criticizing the U.S. Department of Interior, and Eagle Crest has a PSA for everyone. But first, at 8:50 p.m. last night, Capital City Fire and Rescue responded to a structure fire at the 7,000 block of Douglas Highway. Initial arriving crews found fire on the exterior of a single-family home. Crews extinguished the fire and opened up the walls and attic space to make sure there was no extension into other concealed spaces. The fire department credits saving this house to a citizen that was passing by that called 911 and notified the occupant. The fire originated in the wood stove stack area, and the damage was estimated at approximately $5,000. And Capital City Fire Rescue was on the scene of a trailer fire early this morning. Assistant Chief Sam Russell contacted local First News with more information.
We responded to a report of a trailer that was on fire near a house on Glacier Highway at Del Rey. When we arrived, the house was fully involved with the fire. We put the fire out from the exterior to start, and once we got it knocked down, we went inside and confirmed that there was nobody home and made sure that the fire was out. The fire is still under investigation at the time.
Today, U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski criticized the U.S. Department of the Interior, including Secretary Deb Haaland, for repeatedly sanctioning resource development in Alaska, regardless of local support, national need, and federal law. Senator Murkowski's comments came during the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee's hearing on the Department of Interior's budget request for fiscal year 2025.
Our environmental record is second to none. We'll put it up against anyone out there, but now it's effectively being held against us because Interior's decisions are punishing us for decades of responsible development. And ironically, it undermines the president's own policies. He's talking about all that he wants to do to advance the renewables and EVs. Well, they all require critical minerals. Well, where are we going to get the critical minerals? We have opportunities in Alaska.
The Eagle Crest Board Human Resources Committee will be meeting today at 5:30 p.m. in the City Hall Conference Room 224 and via Zoom. The meeting will adjourn into executive session to conduct the Eagle Crest General Manager's annual performance evaluation. Alaska residents would receive checks of around $1,580 this year under the version of the state operating budget passed by the Senate on Wednesday. The check size is one of the key differences between the Senate version of the budget and the one passed by the House last month. The House package proposed checks of about $2,275 a person, including a dividend of roughly $1,650, plus energy relief payments of about $625. The Senate budget calls for a roughly $1,360 dividend and an estimated $222 energy relief payment. The differences between budgets generally are resolved through a conference committee of House and Senate negotiators. And sailors assigned to the Arleigh Burke-class guided missile destroyer, the USS William P. Lawrence, will take part in the City of Juneau's annual Maritime Festival and community activities alongside the Navy Band Northwest during a scheduled port visit from May 4th to 9th. While in port, sailors will have opportunities to participate in community-planned events, as well as explore the rich history and culture of this beautiful area that Southeast Alaska has to offer. As part of the festivities, William P. Lawrence will be open for public tours at the cruise ship terminal dock May 5th through 8th. Tours will be available from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday, and available from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. on Tuesday. There will be no admittance to the existing tour waiting line after 3 p.m. This port visit offers the public an opportunity to tour a U.S. Navy ship and meet with the crew as they showcase their ship's capabilities. It also gives the public a chance to gain a better understanding of how sea services support national defense and freedom of the seas. Coming up, a new exhibit at the City Museum curated by Lily Hope called the Raven's Tail Regalia for Future Leaders. That story when Local First News continues with Jazz Garrett.
Recorded for us by Ishmael Hope. So here's our title.
Yish Kuu Utke.
What just played was the Tlingit name for a new exhibition titled Raven's Tail Regalia for Future Leaders. Lily Hope curated this exhibition, and she invites the community to the free opening reception at the City Museum tomorrow from 4 to 7 p.m. Previously, she held a Chilkat weaving exhibition at the City Museum. She explains the difference between the two forms.
Raven's Tail weaving predates Chilkat. Basketry patterns, black and white imagery, and no cedar bark spun into the warps. And there was a period of time where there was no living teacher for ravenstail weaving.
Ravenstail weaving originates on the northwest coast of Alaska and Canada. This art form fell out of practice for multiple generations.
We've been weaving smaller projects since 1984, 85, when it was woken up by Cheryl Samuel and largely carried by Kay Field Parker. But the number of people who've woven adult-sized ravenstail robes are, you know, less than 20 for sure. And now we have four times that who could weave adult-sized ravenstail regalia.
The oldest known robe dates back to the 1700s. Historic pieces have been preserved in museums across the world. This exhibition will be on display through October 19th. May is National Historic Preservation Month. Yesterday, the National Trust for Historic Preservation unveiled its 2024 list of America's 11 most endangered historic places, an annual ranking that highlights significant sites of American history that are at risk of destruction or unrectifiable damage. This year, the Sitka Tlingit clan houses are included in that list. Jarek Hope Lang, a Tlingit tribal citizen, is collaborating with a team of indigenous architects to design a new clan house on the site where his clan's point house once stood.
My Tlingit name is Kutin. I'm a member of the Kiksati clan and point house in Sitka, Alaska. Sitka Indian Village is a broad nomination because there's multiple clan houses there. Our effort was repatriating point house land in Sitka, Alaska, and our house was unfortunately torn down sometime in the 90s, we think 97. So our effort is actually to rebuild. So specifically for our clan, we're looking at rebuilding a clan house, but it's more than a physical structure to us. It's a heritage and matrilineal identity as well. And so we're not just talking about restoring a building for building's sake, but we're talking about restoring culture.
He says he hopes that the Sitka Tlingit clan houses being included in this national list will broaden conversations around cultural preservation across the state.
A sacred space in Bethel or Nome or St. Mary's, each of them are going to have unique perspectives and needs. And they may not mirror our own. Although we're indigenous from Alaska, those things might not look the same. So I think there's an idea that tribal historic preservation can maybe start having some conversations on maybe a tribal government level or beyond to create our own standards that are relevant to our own clans and people. So I hope that even though this is a Sitka Indian Village win, that broadly speaking, all indigenous people recognize it's kind of a win for them.
Shannon Crossley from Northwind Architects is a historical preservationist. She is the project manager for the Sitka Clan House Restoration, a multifaceted project with aspects of historic research, grant writing, community involvement, and design work.
We quickly realized that historic preservation funding doesn't go towards reconstruction. It very much so favors the already built environment, and that started a greater conversation about how Indigenous practices and Western historic preservation sometimes don't meet eye to eye. And this nomination was the result of us having these discussions about why this place is under distress.
Crossley traveled to the Sitka community and met with the Sitka tribe, community stakeholders, and local historians to help facilitate the design of a modern clan house. She also participated in a large fundraising and marketing event to promote education on the first clan house to be built in the Sitka village in the 21st century.
I think that this project is going to be kind of the catalyst that starts this conversation in many different communities, because we all know that the point house isn't the only clan house that's been lost. And if we can succeed in some way to rebuild this place, others might follow.
To provide support and to learn more, go to pointhouse.org. And the Hank Harmon Public Range will be closed on Saturday, May 4th from 9 a.m. to noon for its biannual range cleanup day. The public is welcome to join the cleanup effort, and the range will reopen at noon. Now you're up to date with Local First News. I'm Jazz Garrett.